Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency. Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents.
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast, your favorite podcast that talks about murders and cults and scams. Yes. And what else, guys? Anything else that I'm missing? Disappearances.
Dramas. Yes. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Ashton Kutcher's.
Yeah.
Ashton Kutcher.
Mila Kunis'
no
Maybe.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Netflix shows.
Netflix.
Well.
Staircases. The Staircase, you know.
Staircase.
So many things.
Good.
Awesome. Well, I'm Sarah Levine here as always as your lovely co-host, and I'm here with
Casey Balsham. Hi, how are you?
And I'm Danny Murphy. I'm good, Casey.
Oh, great.
Glad you
guys
are all
good.
Just
got back from Barcelona. I heard you guys about that.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you listened to us. Oh, sorry. You're off the podcast now.
I know. Yeah. I mean, well, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's right. If you said it like that, you had to be kicked off.
I don't want to defend Barcelona at all, so I'm happy not to do that because I didn't.
You hated it?
You hated it?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, most like white privilege thing to say is like, oh my God, I hated Barcelona.
I said Madrid was a little more fun than Barcelona.
Okay. That's
okay. You know what? I will say there is those things for those ones that are like super. Tourists like that have kind of
that's
been taken
the,
over
yeah.
by they become too comfortable for us to visit.
And
so then therefore
month,
you,
I have pride in not liking Barcelona.
To be honest, I didn't like Venice. Like it was beautiful, but I would not go again because it was just so overcrowded, so fucking hot. Like
to be honest, I don't like Orange County.
Same level, totally.
Just kidding. I went to school at Long Beach State. Go beach. All right.
Is that your mascot? Just the beach?
Yes.
That
no,
sounds,
I think it was like a 49.
Fake, but okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I think
okay.
it was. I think there was
they
also
love
like a
that
minor
number there. 49.
49. Well, that's San Francisco too.
Is that what?
Well, that's our football team in San Francisco. But yeah, no, it was literally like beach, go beach. We didn't even have a football team. We had a giant pyramid.
Wow. And now they probably do pyramid schemes. So it's all.
I'm sure many people that went to Long Beach State that live in Orange County are now involved in a pyramid scheme for sure. For sure.
We should do some pyramid schemes this season.
We shall.
Yeah,
just one. Okay.
We might.
But even if we don't. Whatever. Let's just segue into the game.
Let's do it.
Yes. Okay, so a
we
lot
love
of,
that you guys love it.
You
oh my
guys
God,
loved
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So Casey like literally made this up last week and we did it and everyone loved it. We got actually so many DMs. We didn't even ask you guys, which
was
great.
It went down in the DMs.
It really did.
Insane.
And it was incredible. And some of you guys were
loved
so funny
it.
And some of you guys might be serial killers.
One person in particular might actually be one.
I may have hit my personal Instagram from a few people because I was like, I don't trust that person.
Yeah.
I don't need them to know anything about me.
Very true. So you guys DM'd us on NATC Pod, so continue to do that.
Yep.
I want to just read out some of the good super this is such a tongue twister. Super secret
serial
killer
behavior.
Trait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry that I don't have your handles because I just took screenshots. So one of our followers says, my serial killer trait is that I can only drink room temperature water. So at work, I fill it up half cold, half hot in my bottle. But she tries to do it privately so nobody judges her. And get this, she also lets her beer get to room temperature before she drinks it.
Girlfriend.
No.
Girlfriend. Hot beer?
Yeah, but she'll survive like an apocalypse because she'll be drinking that urine like, oh, she's damn, like, it's all we got. You know
I
what
like
I mean?
Okay, I think the water thing makes sense. I actually like pressed her on this. I was like, wait, why? And I think she just like cold stuff bothers her.
Oh,
which like
oh,
I have sensitivity, so I get
girl?
It.
I got you.
But the
we're
beer is where I draw the line.
But
like,
it could be the same reason. Cold beer could, especially since that with the, like a beer bottle, it's going like directly onto your chin. You know?
Oh, I get it. But still, the beer is like where I draw the line.
And
there.
I feel like it depends what kind of beer too. Like an IPA is okay-ish warm, but like a Bud Light.
If it's cheap beer, it's got to be ice cold, so you can't really taste it.
Yeah,
it just numbs your throat. But girl, but you know what? Be loud and proud with your weird water bowling. Don't you hide that shit.
Mm-mm.
I'm sure there's going to be somebody else in the office that's like, do you like room temperature water? And yeah, that's how you meet your husband.
Chase
or
your
wife.
Lukewarm waterfalls.
That's how you meet your partner.
Okay, I will say, I used to hate the dentist because it would cause me so much discomfort. And then finally, this time I was like, wait, I should tell them that I just have sensitivity to cold. So they like made the water gun thingy warm. And I was like, oh my God, I hate this so much less now.
I had no idea that was a thing you could do.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So I didn't know either, but she asked me if I had like any issues. And I was like, oh, I do.
Also, shouldn't your dentist know that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if they care about our teeth as much as they come. They say, I'm actually canceling a root canal. I have a dentist with one star. I put this up on my story. There's literally a Yelp review for the dentist office that I was going to get a root canal at that was like, go here if you're okay with dying. I said, I'm not sure I want you guys investigating my root canal death.
Casey, do it for the pod.
DITB, do it for the pod.
Just film it. DITB? Okay. That was a good one, though.
That was
a good one.
Okay, here's another one that I just think is like hilarious. It's hilarious. She says, my serial killer trait is whenever I go out, especially concerts, I count other people's drinks. Like I keep track of strangers drinking. And honestly, I'm like, if you're counting, like if we're in the same vicinity, like can you actually just tell me how much I've had to drink? You know, like I wouldn't even be mad about this.
Just be like, hey, I don't want to be creepy, but girlfriend, you've had like seven.
Sorry, you've had like five tequila sodas. That would have helped me last week at fucking this bar in Astoria.
So you made a new friend.
Well, no, because she wasn't there.
Oh, that's true.
Because
I remember the other part too, because I asked her something about this one and she was like, sometimes we'll even ask if they need to call an Uber home.
Okay, see, she's using her serial killer
for good. Serial killer.
And like, does she track the license and address? Who knows? But you know, she's getting you from A to B.
Yes.
But
will she come back and rob you later? Yeah. Maybe.
I feel like if I was that drunk and someone was like, oh, I'll get you an Uber home, I would give them money. I'd be like, here, you take this. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
except
just,
no,
yeah.
Because in real life you'd be like, fuck you, I'm totally sober. And you're like, blackout.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. I had an incident I was doing a show in Connecticut last night at a casino and this guy almost sat on top of me. He was trying to just sit next and he was just like, I don't want any trouble. I just can't find my room key. And we were like, he was so drunk and so hammered that literally like he was like swallowing like he was going to barf all over us. And we were like, cool. So we told the security guard, we're like, hey, this guy is like hammered. I don't think he knows where he is. He seems to have lost his wallet. He has his room key. I was like, but he doesn't want any trouble.
Can I say heart of gold?
Oh my God. But then he found us later. He was trying to get to the concierge and we were like, okay, go this way. And he literally went the wrong way. So that guy's probably just passed out still in Connecticut, but really, really drunk like
worse,
that.
He wouldn't listen.
Yeah. He wouldn't listen to us. So I get it. I get it if you yell at an Uber driver.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Should we just get into today's murders?
Yes. Oh, wait. Do you have a super suit? Because you didn't get to
share
yours.
Oh, yeah. We didn't
even
talk about
it.
Well, aside from saying Barcelona.
Well, I'm sure I'm not alone with this, hopefully. Year round 365, I drink iced black venti coffee.
Yes. Okay, that's not a serial killer trait. That's like a millennial trait.
We had a couple black coffee drinker serial killer.
Because I was going to say my second one for today was that I drink hot coffee year round.
Now that
That's gross. That's way grosser.
Okay, to be fair, I put a lot of cream and stuff in it, so it's actually just like lukewarm.
You're the lukewarm friend, I guess. You're like, I just think lukewarm water.
I have switched from coffee because my stomach was I wanted to try something new, like not wanting to die from burning on the inside.
Weird.
I know. Well, you guys try it. I switched to iced tea because I always drink iced coffee and I put milk in my iced tea and you should see people's heads fucking explode when you ask
Are we in England?
Here's the thing, but it's exactly like having a black tea with milk. It cuts like the little bitterness a little bit, I've seen people go, like, people have laughed at me. People have been like, what? And I'm like, just give me the fuck. Like, just give
I mean,
it to
I've
me.
Done it with hot tea, but for some reason, iced tea just
freaks
seems
people out.
Wrong.
You're used to it with a lemon, so the milk thing really throws you off because milk and lemon is
kind of odd.
I just
think it's gross
too,
seeing like milk and ice together. Like, I feel like those are things that shouldn't mix.
Oh, because you
says the guy who drinks black coffee, your opinion is irrelevant.
Have you heard of ice cream?
Have you heard
of
veganism? Guys, this is taking a turn. That is my serial killer.
Never tried.
This is taking a turn. We're getting way too annoying.
Yes.
Let's bring it back.
I get told that every day. Hey, you're a little annoying now. I'm like, Mom, it's 10.
Yeah. Okay, so we wanted to bring in current events for this episode.
We sure did.
Mm-hmm. At the time that we're recording this, I mean, this will still be relevant on Monday. What am I even saying?
Yeah.
One glass of wine in.
Yeah. Right. thank you for outing me.
Super I'm okay, the one so, who counts the drinks.
There we go.
It's Danny. Okay, so Ashton Kutcher has been in the news for testifying against this like alleged serial killer. So we thought that we would talk about that because it's actually, it goes so much deeper than Ashton Kutcher. I think it's so interesting. We're going to be talking about this man who was known as the Hollywood Ripper and also the Chiller Killer.
The Chiller Killer, which is a way better name. Honestly, Hollywood Ripper, I go, okay, but Chiller Killer, I'm like, what did he do? Yeah. What did he do?
Incidentally, the Chiller Killer is also my rap name.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. MC Chiller Killer. So, but we love this guy. No, we don't love this guy. No. I don't know why I said it like that. I didn't mean to
Heart
say it like
of
that.
Gold, yeah.
No, we hate this guy. We love the story because it's juicy.
It's crazy.
That's what I meant to say.
So his name is Michael Gargiulo. Now he's 43 years old. He's currently on trial for allegedly killing two women and attempting to murder another. Mm-hmm. He's a former air conditioning repairman and a bouncer, so he's a true jack of all
trades.
Triple
threat, yeah.
Well, and also, but the thing is, too, is that this guy also told people he was many other things. Like he lied about all kinds of stuff. Like when he moved to LA, he also told everyone he was a boxer, even though his brother was a boxer. Mm. Oh, so who really? This guy was all over the place with who he said he was.
He's a weirdo. Do you know where he's from?
I think he's originally from
Illinois. Oh right, yeah. From Illinois.
He's from Illinois.
He moved to LA in 1997, mm-hmm. and he did work as a doorman at this place called the Rainbow Bar and Grill, which is on Sunset Strip, in 1999. According to LA prosecutors, though, he's a serial psychosexual thrill killer. And according to LA District Attorney Daniel
Pokemon
Ackman, I think it's like Pokemon basically missing the beat.
Yeah.
He says his hobby was plotting the perfect opportunity to attack women with a knife in and around their homes. So he's a really fun guy at parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great guy.
Sunset
Michael.
Strip. Feel mm-hmm. safe there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other facts about his life?
Yeah. So they said he was known for his temper, and it actually comes in because there's a couple girlfriends that he dated in between these alleged murders, and he, I think, beat them both, and we'll get into that. But he was known for his temper so much that actually he did get fired from the Rainbow Bar and Grill for punching a patron in the face.
Yikes.
So
chill energy.
Clearly, yeah. But not chill energy. Apparently, there's been not chill at all. I may say I loved him, but you better not say he's chill. Oh, Chiller Killer. Okay, I get what we're doing now. But fuck, man. He gave everyone the creeps, like full on. Like, there's so many people that were just like, this guy is not.
There's something about him
and the fact that he was just constantly lying about stuff, but he was still like raking in women left and right, which is crazy. Like there was times in this guy's life when he had three girlfriends at once. And if you Google a picture of him again, here's Sarah, I'm watching Sarah and Denny throw up their hands. Cause again,
literally.
How many murderers have to be in relationships before we get these two wiped
also,
up?
Also just
huh?
seems selfish. I mean, do I need to kill someone? Cause I will.
I'm DTK. Yeah.
The DTK killer.
I'm like,
wait,
why is the NYPD
oh my God.
Here?
This is the DTK killers. It'll be you guys in a Adidas tracks, which is back to back, like
dead ass. That's like, us.
Get me some booty.
I can't wait. I think I'll really clean up in prison, to be honest.
Yeah. It's honestly crazy. But okay, Michael. Actually, another thing about him is that he obviously. So one of the murders that we're going to be talking about that he was accused of is this woman called Patricia Picaccio. I'm going to say that's how Picaccio. Mm-hmm. He actually, it was a friend of a colleague of his. He was friends with her younger brother, I believe, mm-hmm. back in Glenview, Illinois. And he actually moved to LA. He left Illinois because he was accused of this murder. And he was actually very freely would say that to people. He's like, I had to leave because I was accused of this murder that I didn't do. That's a super secret serial killer. That's a very open serial killer behavior.
I feel like that's a weird thing that someone can just move when that happens. You're like, I
feel like the police would be like, hey, don't move states now.
Apparently the cops in Chicago really just didn't give up. When we get into the DNA stuff like that, but Chicago really could not care less. But
why don't you tell us a little bit about Trisha first?
Yeah, so Trisha was again he was friends with her brother. She was a teenager. She was from Glenview, Illinois as well. Her father was Rick and her mother was Diane. In August 14th of 1993, between 1 and 2 a.m., she was stabbed to death on the stoop of her side door of her car. She was 18 at the time of her death.
Of her side door.
Okay, wait, sorry. Let me take that sentence again because that didn't make sense.
It was just like on the stoop of like the side entrance of her
house. Oh, the side entrance. Okay. So Trisha Boccaccio was from Glenview, Illinois. She was the daughter of Diane and Rick. And on August 14th, 1993, between 1 and 2 a.m., she was stabbed outside of her house from the by the side door, side entrance. She was only 18 at the time of her death. And it just so happened to be that Michael lived a block away. So he was very close in the neighborhood. And again, they were, he was really close with the family.
The family knew him.
Yeah, they knew him very, very well. And the case essentially went cold in 2006. But I mean, I believe that he probably did it. And seeing as he moved to LA and claims that he did it because he was accused of this murder. But technically, they have not arrested anyone or charged anyone. And nothing has been done since 2006. So let's cut to Michael's life in L.A. He was kind of hanging out with this group of people that they claim were like the hills before the hills. It was like this beautiful model, this girl, Ashley. I think she was actually...
How did he get in with these people?
I don't know. I mean, he was, I think at first, offered to help fix a car for Ashley. Ashley Ellerin is the next victim we're going to be speaking of. But I think he initially started to... he offered to help fix her car, and then eventually... when he got into working air conditioning, he would help her with her air conditioning and her heating system.
Handyman.
Yeah, a handyman. All mm-hmm. to, again, the dismay of her roommate, who was like, this guy's a fucking creep, man. Mm. And she was like, I don't, you know, like, she was kind of, I think, too involved. Like, she was very, I think, a party girl. She was actually...
Well, I think women are also just so going to be like, oh, no, he's harmless. Like,
right. Yeah.
Because you don't want to seem like that bitch that's like, get away from me. You know what I mean?
And also it's someone being like, oh, he's helping me with all these things. Why would that
right.
should be a trait of kindness.
Right.
Hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Ashley Ellerin, of course, the girl that we're talking about, is a girl. She actually moved from Northern California to LA, where I said she was very involved in the LA scene. You know, she was dating an acting coach. She, I think, modeled. She was gorgeous. She was also a part-time stripper in Las Vegas. Get it, girl.
That's a long commute.
You know what, though? I had a neighbor that did it. And she would
really?
Literally
like they
would,
drive 4 hours,
mm-hmm. but she would go up one night a week, make like $5,000, and then just come home
well,
and live her life.
There is BRB. More money and like probably more regulated in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's you tax. It's a career.
Yeah,
it's fine. So cool. She was also a student at FITM, which so then she was going to school during the week, and she encountered Michael, like we said, when he was helping her with her car. She was 22 when she died. And she had kind of gone out with a couple different celebrities. Obviously, this is where the Ashton Kutcher thing comes out. She also dated Vin Diesel and Jeremy Sisto. And I can't think of two different looking actors than Jeremy Sisto and Vin Diesel. Look them up. They're very, very different.
There's no face swapping there.
No.
But yeah, so kind of like most stories in life, you wonder like, where is Ashton Kutcher and how is he involved?
Yes.
And, so this one is interesting. Like you said, him and Ashley dated. They went on a few dates. And I think kind of in like a more casual-ish sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then but they had plans to go to a Grammys after party together on February 21st, 2001. And he last spoke to her at 8:24 to let her know that he was going to be late. And she didn't answer the text message, allegedly, he said, and kind of, so he didn't know if she was mad or something like that. So at 10, he decided to go to her house because it was late and she didn't pick up the phone or anything like that. When he showed up, he saw the lights on, but no one answered the door. So he assumed that maybe she went out or something like that. But then this part is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. When he peered in through the window to look through, he saw red stains everywhere. And so kind of just like splattered, and he thought that it was like he thought that it looked enough like a glass of red wine spilled.
Well, she'd also had a party, I think, like the day before or something like that. So he thought that it was just wine that
like
had spilled.
Red wine, which I mean, like in my head, I mean, I guess go looking through anyone's window, I would assume maybe that, but it's like a weird red flag in hindsight situation.
In hindsight.
Yeah,
for sure.
But then so which that obviously turned out to be blood, but he went out that night and then realized that she was murdered, and he started panicking because he was like, oh, my fingerprints are on the door. I was the last person she talked to. They had plans that night type of situation. So he was super panicked and went to talk to the police about it.
Because I don't think he was already on to, I think he was just starting.
He was filming that 70s show.
Yeah, so it was like, he wasn't like known as Ashton
Kutcher. Right. He wasn't like a household name.
But obviously enough of a household name where he'd have to be like, hey, you're going to find my fingerprints. But like, I promise you this wasn't me. Luckily he had left messages. When detectives came to investigate this murder, they also said that it looked apparently like this was somebody, this wasn't a forced entry type thing. This was somebody that knew this woman that had been in her home before. And obviously subsequently ended up stabbing her 47 times. There was this one detective that was like, I honestly, this, it didn't look like she was, like her curling iron was still on, her hair dryer, or her hair dryer was plugged in. Like he was like, I can still smell the crime scene, which is like such a creepy memory. But he was like, it's burned into my brain, like how kind of gruesome it was. One detective is actually quoted in saying, and this is a trigger warning, I mean, this is a murder podcast, but he said one stab penetrated her skull and took out a chunk of her skull like a puzzle piece.
Oh my God.
So this was a brutal.
I didn't even know you could do that.
It's pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah. Some of the cuts are like 6 inches deep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like Danny said, this happened on February 21st.
Grammys.
At the night of the Grammys. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because obviously it's like a big event. They probably remembered. Michael actually claimed, because some people kind of said, maybe question this guy. He's a little bit of a weirdo. He says that he actually got hit by a cement truck. Working outside of the Kodak Theater. So he was like,
what?
He was bragging that he was going to sue them and how much money he was going to. Actually, this guy was
weird,
a pathological.
Flex, but okay.
Yeah.
Is there no, how did he get out of that? People were like, dude, you look totally fine. Like,
well, it was a cement truck.
Did he throw himself in front of the truck?
He says he was hit and he says he was going to sue them. So the detective being like, okay, looked into any kind of crash that had happened, talked to the cement company, went by, saw no evidence of any kind of accident. The only accident that was reported on that night was a dog was struck and the owner of the dog reported that. And the person that hit the dog was Michael.
Stop.
Wow.
What? Yes,
what,
this is per LA Weekly. And
psychopath.
So this is, I'm trusting LA Weekly with my heart, but I was like, this is, that was, it's such a weird lie to concoct, but also
because
you're not a boxer.
And it's so easily disproven.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird alibi.
Yeah, especially this is coming from the guy, you know, who, like we said, kind of was really into all this like psychosexual and thrill killing and would watch, you know, all these murder shows and try to figure out how to do it. Ugh. You know? Yeah.
He was like a total creep.
He was
and
a total
we have
creep.
Totally more on that later.
Yeah.
As well. His next alleged victim is a woman or was a woman named Maria Bruno. She was a 32-year-old mother of four, which I thought was interesting because so far, like, his other victims were very young.
Yeah.
I mean, Maria was also beautiful. Like, I looked at them all, and they were all, like, so beautiful, like, model types. She was killed in 2005. She lived in El Monte, California, and she also was stabbed multiple times. And so she actually lived in, I think, the same apartment complex as Michael. And
I think that was the MO for all of them. I think it was.
They lived nearby. Yeah, he always lived nearby.
He lived within the block, like walking distance of everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it sucks because she was killed just 10 days after moving into the complex.
Yeah.
And what the killer did was he pried a screen loose from her ground floor kitchen window and climbed in that way. And then while she was sleeping, he cut her throat. What? So he seems to have it.
Something also crazy about the Maria Bruno crime scene was that he tried to remove her breast implant. Like he tried to, he cut off one of her breasts essentially, which is just crazy, but lines up with the psychosexual, you know, killer behavior. It's also noted that they found a blue surgical booty at the crime scene. And the only reason why that stuck out in my mind is because in between kind of these murders and in between even him getting arrested, he dated a couple other women. He dated in 2003, he dated a woman named, I think it was Michelle Kwok, and he beat her. So she left and she ended up taking the stand. And then in 2000, and that was in 2005. In 2003, he dated a woman named Maria Garola.
Oh.
And I think he ended up moving in with her and her children and he beat her. So she left. I think he threatened to kill her, but she did say when he was courting her, he would wear these blue surgical booties around.
Why?
Trying to get her to date him.
What?
I mean, I don't know. She's like, he would follow me around and these things.
Yo,
so,
what?
So again.
Maybe that's why we're single. We're not dating people who are like fucking
not
stalking us.
Or we don't have blue booties.
Stalking.
I need to, why am I wearing regular shoes?
Yes. Yeah. So again, this history of violence that was, you know, got him fired in the first place. And this, it's just,
I know,
kind of,
again, this just seems like he's again one of those people who it's not like, oh, we could have never seen this coming. It's like, no, people knew for a while that at best this guy was like a domestic abuser, at worst an alleged murderer.
Yeah. What's also crazy is that like this guy went from relationship to relationship. So clearly there was also that serial killer behavior where he made women comfortable and then, you know what I mean?
Somehow, yeah. Because
there was actually a point where he was dating this woman, Allison, from Chicago. And then he also was dating this woman from an AOL chat room from Chicago who worked at McDonald's, impregnated her secretly. And then there's talks that he also had another secret girlfriend that was a doctor. So all three of these women, he had like this weird secret life. So clearly this guy was juggling. It's just,
I can't even like go to the gym and have a full work schedule. Like, how do you lead two lives?
How do you
murder involved with it? Like, yes, a lot of stress
and impregnating people, secretly when your other girlfriend that you're like kind of living with your brother doesn't even know.
Stressful. I know my skin breaks off from planning a week. Like, let alone all of this. It's really hard.
Honestly, so this guy was, had a way with women.
Woo, yeah. I think things kind of started to unravel a bit. I think I always say that, but whatever. Things caught up with him a little bit.
They unravel.
Things be unraveling. That's what they do.
That's the new podcast name.
Yes.
Things be unraveling. Oh my
God. Wow. I hate everything about this. So his last victim ended up actually surviving. Her name is Michelle Murphy. She was attacked in 2008 and she was 26 years old at the time of this alleged attack. She was living in Santa Monica, basically just living her life. One day she arrives home from work at 6:45 p.m. She does laundry and she also sprints and jumps rope in the back alley of her apartment complex.
Get it, girl.
Go her. I know, right?
She was so strong.
Right? She goes to bed at 10:30. We should all start doing jumping rope.
I didn't start going to bed at 10:30.
Yeah.
True.
Apparently.
So she went to bed 10:30. She left her second story window partially open because it was hot. And this gave Gargiulo his opening, literally. Mm-hmm. So he actually lived in the apartment complex across the street from Murphy with his then wife.
And her mother.
And the mother.
Mommy dearest.
This is insane. Whew, how do you have the time for this? So at 11:30, apparently a man dressed in dark clothes and a hoodie climbed onto a ledge next to Murphy's living room window and he sliced through the screen and climbed inside, then walked into her bedroom, straddled her, and began to stab her. But she luckily was able to kick off her attacker, and she actually made a comment that she kept trying to like wrap her hand around the blade, like she was just able to kind of... She's so smart. I'm like, damn girl, how'd you do that? But she just kind of tried to like throw him off basically. Yeah. And she was able to do that. She did end up surviving. Thank goodness.
Yeah. So wait, what is the, why did she say that she wanted to grab the blade?
Well, just to grab it from it. Cause I saw that I feel like that would throw off a killer being like, oh, they just grabbed the thing.
Yeah.
And she's strong from like the workout. So she was able to kind of give it up.
Yeah. I think she was, that's what she was trying to do, but she ended up being able to like get her legs free. And so she like kicked him off.
Oh,
that is so.
That's how, so I would
do
never,
your squats, people.
Yeah. I would be.
I would never
leg
have
press
that
day at the gym.
Instantly dead.
No, yeah, I would never be like, oh, grab the blade. I would just.
I mean, I try to dodge it, but yeah, I wouldn't think to grab it.
Me neither.
It's pretty.
But you're right. It probably would throw someone off to be like, why are you? This is a knife. Why are you grabbing that? I'm like, why are you stabbing me with it?
You're like, we have to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
I think the craziest thing though is that all these attacks happened at least 10 years ago, and they're all just coming to light now. But Danny, you can kind of tell us why this took so fucking long.
This was kind of insane. So as Sarah said, things be unraveling, but yeah, slowly unraveled. So he was first caught after 15 years I feel like that was killing Trisha, not Michelle.
Yeah.
So he was first caught after 15 years of being a killer, allegedly, in the Trisha Picaccio. Trisha Picaccio case. But he accidentally cut himself and left a trail of his own blood at the crime scene, which is sort of just like, and it's interesting too, because there everyone always talks or people would always comment how he was such a perfectionist and things like that, and we'll get into that. But then to have just like Forensics 101 bring you down is very interesting.
He cut himself in the Murphy
attack,
right?
Yeah. So
but
when
the
there was
15
like
years
the,
after the Trisha thing, yeah, that's wild.
So in like, because like they had the kind of back and forth with the, and she was able to fight back, so he was probably thrown off too with that situation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so the blood was found at Murphy's apartment, and it matched the DNA found underneath the fingernails of Trisha from
Chicago, 15 years ago. Or yes. Chicago. Illinois.
Yeah.
Illinois. The other thing preserved. That I thought was interesting too was when Murphy was able to finally kick him off, he just said, "I'm sorry," and ran out.
Oh my God.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, it is crazy that they found this DNA and that.
Which kind of gives me hope. I feel like there's, especially now that they caught, allegedly, the Golden State Killer, I feel like, nobody's safe. Like, they're going to catch you.
Here's hoping. Yeah.
Don't do ancestry DNA.
Literally. And that, well, I mean, because that was the funny thing, too, because what I was saying, he made comments to his friend Mirko Hoffman, which, what a first name, that Gorgiulo was always trying to learn from other criminals' mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like he was very obsessive with it. And yeah. Kind of been like, oh, this doofus, but I can do this instead type of thing. So he watched
like
America's...
Like us watching true crime stuff.
I know. Well, that's my favorite one. It's like, he watched America's Most Wanted. I'm like, safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what
Super
I...
Super Secret Serial Killer.
Do you know what show I watch and always think I can do it?
Which one?
America's, no, America's Next Top Model. Tell me you don't pose in your mirror and you're what are these bitches even doing?
I always
like,
do,
watch me. Watch me now.
Tyra, kiss my fat ass.
Yeah. I never think I could solve murders, but I'm always like... I can be a vegetable, you know, or like whatever you're posing as today.
Right. Like, Tyra can cut my bangs.
I can make an outfit out of garbage and work it.
I think you're thinking of Project Runway
or RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, both. But they did would also dress them up. Remember, there was an America's Next Top Model challenge where they were like homeless chic, and they were like, like they had a dress.
That was
like
early 2000. Yeah,
that's when I watched it.
That was a moment. Oh, but yeah. So he would say, and like he had this line, which I also I use this in my day to day life. I feel like it's. Lie until you die.
Yes. Well, it sounds great. It rhymes. So
it sounds great. I love a rhyme, and I always like. I feel like you're in situations. You're like, how do I get out of this? I'll just lie and hope it stops. But usually, it's for like not texting people.
That's what he would say. Apparently, if he ever got caught doing anything illegal.
And that's the insane thing that he would make comments, I guess, to a friend, but still, just being like, "Yo, now if I ever get caught,"
because now we know he was a pathological liar.
Yeah, because he still is never. He never. Admitted to anything.
Yeah.
Right. Still.
And because even Hoffman, his friend, who he said all this to, said that if he ever committed a crime, he would get away with it. And that was about Michael.
Well.
We're
about to have a reckoning on that, perhaps.
We'll see.
So we'll
see. And, but yeah, so per NBC Los Angeles, Gorgiulo never admitted to killing any of the women over 48-hour interrogation.
DNA.
Yeah. And he told CBS that he was 100% innocent. So he's sticking with this. This is like.
I mean, to be fair, I would obviously not admit to anything in a police interview either.
Yeah,
but
when they present you with your own blood,
I know this isn't Chicago the Musical. No. But I mean, Chicago's involved, so yeah.
No, but I mean, when you look at it, when all these women got murdered when they lived in the same complex or close to this man, your blood is found there. I also read one report that somebody else said that they saw, like, before one of the other murders, they saw a guy like lurking with like the same outfit that was described in the Murphy one, as like just the hoodie and the dark clothes and stuff like that.
And also,
which,
it's like the geographical. Like coincidence is
very
important.
And the fact that you were constantly watching and talking about what you would do if you were a murderer.
I know. I feel like I'm getting like mad Ted Bundy vibes where this guy just like thinks he's going to outsmart the legal system. And it's like, bro, I don't think you're as smart as you think you are.
And you know, it's interesting too. Well, I guess because it is a serial killer trait of being like he would because like Ted, he would just try to be super helpful and be like, oh, your air conditioner's not working. Let me help you with that. Ted's like, let me carry your. Yeah.
Never letting a man help me with anything again.
See, it goes against everything, though, because like I try to help people and I feel like I love when somebody, you know, because in New York, especially, you could be carrying around your fucking grandmother over your shoulder and people be like, excuse me. Nobody helps anything. So it just does. When things like this. When things like this happen, you're just like, fuck, man, it is 50-50.
That's why I have trust issues.
That's why her blue booties be single. Yeah.
That's why your blue booties ain't bootied up.
Sarah full Sonic the Hedgehog into her shell.
She really did. She really.
I cringed into myself.
You retreated big time. So obviously, you know, the reason why we're bringing this case up is because it's finally a trial. So here's the thing. If you're following the timeline, and I know we were jumping around because there was all kinds of weird shit and relationships. Because
we're talking about
an
alleged serial killer. So obviously we got to jump around in time a little bit.
Yeah. But if you're following. Okay. So he was charged for the Illinois killing of Boccaccio in 2011. Finally, after, you know,
almost 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
I had to do math real quick in my head.
I know that girl's poor parents. But okay, so that's 2008. That's 2011. It's 2019. It's on my calendar, on my Mayan calendar, and he's just going. They just had the pre-trials,
Which is fucking wild. Like, how fucking slow is our justice system? What happened to a right to a speedy trial? Like, let's get this shit rolling.
I feel like this is really only getting attention, notoriety, and moving along because Ashton Kutcher is somehow involved.
100%. There was also a book that someone wrote about it called The Hot Ones, which I've heard is good.
Oh, that's okay.
But no, I mean, really, it is just because of Ashton Kutcher. Otherwise, I think no one, unfortunately, like, this really wouldn't be getting much press.
And even me and Sarah were talking about a lot of the research we were doing and trying to do before this. Yeah. Every article was just Ashton Kutcher. When he's just 1/8 of a fraction. Even
when I would just Google like the women's names, it would just be like Ashton Kutcher, and I'm like, okay, well, he has nothing to do with this right now.
Yeah, that must and be I couldn't why mine find didn't out. Say anything about it because mine was from a few years prior.
I mean, I couldn't even
Boiling
find
points,
out.
Yeah.
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 I like couldn't even find out anything like about them, which is like so upsetting.
So sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
except
wild.
For Trisha, like a little bit, I could find out some stuff, but because her parents did like an article with Reader's Digest, but there really wasn't a lot to be said about like any of the victims.
No. That's wild. That's where it makes me sad that we don't give attention to that. But you know, hopefully this guy's getting his day in court finally. Mm-hmm. And even though he was already charged in Illinois, he can't be tried until after the LA trials are done, and they're expected to last up to 6 months. So, well, so this guy's
going
to go to court.
6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we'll be. We'll just with an update, or if we find out, you know, we'll do an update.
Yeah.
As far as what he might get sentenced is that he obviously would be up against the maximum. He would be up against life in prison. And I think even California prosecutors are seeking the death penalty because it is still legal in California and not
that's
in Illinois,
shocking.
Which feels backwards to me.
Yeah,
it feels like
it's Wild Wild West, I feel like.
It's not what you'd expect.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what they're doing. And, you know, who knows? Who knows if he ever will confess or if he's still going to lie until he dies? Because
he has to lie until he dies because, like, you know, this is your mantra. So you got to stick to it. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the chiller killer and the Hollywood ripper.
I mean, can you guys imagine if you were just going to go on a date and like 19 years later, you have to remember exactly what you did that night?
I know that.
Yeah. And they said they were just using kind of like the Kutcher thing so that they had the timeline correct, right?
I mean, that's
why
they
brought
him in. I think Ashley was killed like while he texted her like 8:24. That was I'm running late. I think in that time.
So that's an hour and a half.
Yeah. Right.
There at
and
10.
I think also.
Right. In that time, I think she was being killed.
Yeah. And he was the only, like, there's evidence witness of like time stamps and things like that with her and him, whereas the other people don't really have a lot of like that.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that there's not as many details with that.
Because he was able, I saw like a lot of their details being like, where in the house type of situation that Ashton had to answer in court.
Right.
I mean, 47 to be stabbed 47 times.
It's so crazy.
Oh my God.
And then to only really have, your death kind of justified because Ashton Kutcher was part of it.
Oh my God.
I mean, me and him have the same birthday. So there's part of me that's we're friends.
Close personal friends.
You're invested with all of his apps because he's like 800 of them.
We're Aquarius together. So I know why he's important. Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you think he should get the death penalty?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet if I believe in the death penalty.
I know.
I know. To me, it almost feels like the easy way out.
But there's also part of me that's like, if we're without a reasonable doubt that this guy did kill it, why are we going to waste taxpayers' money and space in jail?
That's
fucking
very,
get rid of him.
That's very true.
But
no, it costs way more money to put someone on death row because they can appeal and appeal and appeal.
And it
costs so
forever.
Much more money.
Does
to
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's like Jodi Arias. That it took
that
so much money. When we talked about that episode, like
them
even deliberating to give her the death penalty, like cost millions of dollars, and
her
then they
whole
were just
trial
like,
was too long.
And
well,
also,
fair.
I feel like there is something with having someone when they're guilty, like living and coming to terms with what they did
and suffering
for
the rest of their life,
and being like,
yeah,
because that's the thing. It's like what you said. It's like death is this like kind of like easy way out for them, and they're just like, okay, done. And if they're like, the way their brain is working, like, oh my, like that's kind of like a high honor, I feel like, maybe almost for them, versus like, no, sit with what you did in prison,
right? Correct. Or not even like an honor, but well, I feel like you don't have to deal with like, you know, the
pain,
crushing monotony of spending every single day for the rest of your life in a cell. I don't know though.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about any not sure yet.
Wait, but wouldn't it be crazy if Ashton Kutcher actually did commit this murder?
Oh,
my God.
It was honest. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, okay, and kind of fucked up that he was like, oh, this girl that I've dated just got murdered. And his first thoughts seemed to have been, oh, but I could be going down for this. Like, my fingerprints are on the door. Isn't that kind of fucked up?
It's very fucked up.
Mila, watch her man. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. What if Ashton Kutcher was just seriously a serial killer this whole time?
Wow.
He'd be pretty crazy. He'd be the real Hollywood Ripper.
That is true.
That'd be good.
I mean, they were rippers on That 70s Show. You know, I didn't get that. I didn't get that for a while. I was like, they're always just in this weird, like it almost felt like
why are they in this?
Can I tell you? Not me neither. And it was on like the circle thing. I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah. And you're like, oh, they're stoned.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was like, oh, the 70s.
Yeah. You're like, now I get it. Now I get it for sure. Well,
which, yeah. I was going to say, would you do what era Ashton Kutcher would you want to date? But I don't know if that's a proper send off for this. I also don't know the different eras of him.
I know. I'm not that familiar with Ashton Kutcher.
Which era of Ashton would you want to knock on the door when you're murdered?
I think he's Sarah. I think he's peaking. I think Dad Ashton is peak Ashton. I think Demi Ashton was all the way there.
No, that was like, no.
I mean, I kind of liked that what was happening. But afterwards, you're just like, yeah.
I think any couple with a huge age gap, I'm kind of like, are we sure? Yeah. Regardless of gender.
I remember he cheated on her.
Uh-huh.
No, with who?
With that Sarah, somebody named Sarah.
What? It was me.
But yeah. With you, my dear.
Girl, them blue booties.
Oh, yeah. I forget. It was like the security guard had to take her. Remember he like took her phone or something like that, but she cheated on
her with her security guard?
No. He was hanging out with this chick and the security guard had to took her phone and stuff like that. They could hang out, but they totally hooked up and
weird.
It was a big thing. And I think that was the beginning of it. But then this is nothing new with this kid. Poor Demi went so
Demi
crazy.
I know
she really started chugging Red Bulls, sugar-free Red Bulls, and just she went off the handles. Yeah.
But is that bad? She had to publicly. Should we not do that?
Sarah's like, it's my Friday. I'm going off tonight.
Yeah, I'm just going to shotgun a Red Bull. Like, why is that weird?
Before I go out, that's how I make friends. Tell us how you guys make friends.
Oh my God, yeah. Tell us how you make friends.
From talking about room time water.
Yeah, tell us your super secret serial killer habit.
Keep them coming.
We need to pitch that as a show to TLC for real.
Super secret. I love it.
Wait.
I'll call Mr.
The
T.
The light bulbs are going up. Yeah, tell us your weird serial killer habits. Also, another thing I wanted to talk about at the top, but we'll just do it now, was that Casey really judged me for my TV volume thing.
I sure did.
But there are so many of you guys that you guys do the same thing. It was honestly great. We got so many DMs. Also, in our Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group, we got like so many comments. It's great.
It.
Like, we love that you guys post. Please continue to post. I try to respond like whenever I can.
Yeah, I think we're all. You're definitely sometimes you get them fast. And I'll go on there and
I'll
see them.
I'm also on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Fun
well,
fact.
I mean, for the Instagram stuff, like sometimes.
Oh,
I go,
yeah.
But I'm really enjoying, and we are really looking at your suggestions. I have homework. I want to make a big spreadsheet with all of you guys' suggestions because there's so many people I hadn't known, and I'm into it. And please keep subject.
There's some from New Zealand. Yeah, there's a lot of like stuff. Yeah.
We love the local
stuff too. There was a PTA killer that somebody suggested.
Yeah,
I'm really into because that seems like Pretty Little Lie. Like Big Little Lies.
But both. Yeah, it's a BLPLL. Yeah,
it's a BLPLL.
BLT. I loved also some like weird scammer guy in Australia named Hamish or something like that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh my God, Hamish
the bitch.
We're reading, guys.
Sure. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Reading. We love you.
Yeah, we do love it. So please continue to do that. And
rate, review, subscribe.
Yes.
Please
give us
that.
5 stars. Otherwise, just don't bother.
No, literally.
Or if you hate us, stop listening. We don't mind. It's
I know
okay.
It's okay.
We're
I've
not
been
for
dumped
everybody.
Before. Yeah.
We're having a fun talk about. I like that somebody
a fun talk
about
murder.
Is
what
well, I do like. We did get one review that was just like they talk about it like how I would talk about it with my friends.
I love
think that's
that.
What
yeah.
we're trying to do here. So if that's not what you're into, that's totally fine. There's a lot of murder podcasts for you. Ours, however,
this
is going to be like
this. Get a coffee, glass of wine, and you're sitting with us.
Come on,
babies. Or you're walking to work in London. Someone DM'd that they listened to us walking to London. I was like, can we... the
life
holiday?
Switch? Life
yeah.
switch?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, can I be your Cameron Diaz? Like,
let's do it.
Tag me in, baby.
Yeah. Also, if you guys want to send us like really long stuff, just email us, natc@betches.com. We have gotten a few emails with some good like local cases, which are always fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep reaching out to us. We love you all.
Danny, do you have any shows coming up next?
I have June 17th. I'm doing my show Jersey Pour at Hayward's Bar in Brooklyn.
Love that.
Yeah, so Jersey Pour is like a big, it's a just a big wine glass. It should be a fun time.
I want to
do
that.
Come meet us.
It's free. We're doing it. 9 p.m.
Yeah.
What about you, Casey? Anything fun?
This comes out Monday. The Monday this comes out, if you listen to it and you live in New York City, I'll be at the Moxie Hotel at 8, and I'm going to be at the Friars Club at 9 or something like that. So
that's so fun.
DM any of us if you want to come to anything.
I'm not a stand-up comedian, but
We're going to get her out, Char.
Yeah. Girl, oh, yeah. God, you guys.
We're gonna have her party. Chugging that Red Bull, and she's going to, yeah. Watch like she just roasts us, and we start crying. We're like, oh, you wrote the reviews.
Oh, yeah, it was me. Danny, your laugh is annoying.
I know you. I'm like, yeah, I've lived with this voice for a long ass time. If you think you're the first person who told me my laugh is
right. But I don't do any shows, but I'm going to be on my friend Danny Vega's podcast. Yes, it's really awesome. It's called Am I the Asshole? It's totally different from this. It's exactly what it sounds like. People submit scenarios, and you decide... We decide if they were the asshole in that scenario.
I love that.
It's really good. Please, I do love the podcast genuinely. It's so awesome. So listen to it. Also follow me on Instagram. Shameless plug. Sarah F. Carter. No H on the Sarah.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Cashmere Danny. Cashmere with a K.
And you can follow me at Case Face B. Case with a C.
And follow the podcast on Instagram, NATC Pod. We're still reading your guys' sign-offs. We love them so much.
And we got up to 21K. And we're so excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Keep telling friends.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. We love you so much. We love you. Thank you all for listening. This sign off comes from my good friend, Sophie Lesser. Sophie_Lesser. This has been Not Another True Crime Podcast with Another True Crime Podcast.
Boom.
Betches.